and welcome to Irreverent Testimony, brought to you by Netroots Radio, the political podcast by and for millennial and Gen Xer types from a left-wing perspective. It's Saturday, November 18th, 2017, coming up on Thanksgiving. I'm Travis.
I'm Rachel.
And what a week, Rach. What a week.
I fucking hate the news. I really do. I'm exhausted by it. I really am. I know this is going on the third or fourth week that we're going to talk about sexual harassment and assault.
Yeah.
And I'm...
Well, we've been giving you guys a primer on the get ready for when people that you admire or respect and like are face these accusations, as well as gross garbage people like Trump and Roy Moore and what have you. And we're here now. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
About this. We've had stuff that's happened nationally. We've had stuff that's happened here locally in Denver with people we know personally.
Yeah.
So it's been...
It's been really hard.
Yeah. It's been tough. And we're going to...
I want to just, for a minute... I think that when this Me Too campaign started, a lot of women in my life... I've been talking to women a lot lately. And myself included... We felt very emboldened and very like the time is finally here and
right.
People mm-hmm. are listening and people are paying attention and they're
yes.
finally, there's finally a national conversation around this that's happening.
Yes.
And it felt empowering and it felt like this is the first time that this is really a thing. And now I feel exhausted. And yeah. I know that some of the women in my life feel the same way. And that's because it's like reliving everything that's ever happened to you all over again, every day, every time you read the news, every time you open social media, there's something. And I'm not saying that that's not good. I think it is good, but it's exhausting. For those of us who've been through this for our entire lives, you know, in order to just sort of live and breathe and function as a female human being or a person, you sort of have to like push away a lot of shit and sort of bury shit and just put, you know, brush things off and push things aside and just move on, because the avalanche of things that happen to you as a woman throughout your life, if you focused on them too much, you wouldn't be able to function. And so we're experts at doing that, right? We're experts at sort of, oh yeah, that happened, but it's fine. Or, you know, just sort of not, you know, you just, okay, let's move on. Because you literally cannot function if you get hung up about everything that happens to you as a woman. And so,
but to the point of the Me Too movement, it never quite goes away. It just gets buried deep inside.
It does. And this, I think, at least for me this week, this was just exhausting. And I, you know, I've had the flu, so that was part of it, I think. But I just think that, you know, when you want to go into that place, you seek out like feminist circles and things and places on the internet where you can do that. But for the most part, that shit's just not part of the public discourse. And it has been part of the public discourse for weeks now. And it's started to seep in for a lot of us. And it's started to trigger and bring back shit and bring shit up. And it's really, really exhausting to read and to listen to and to think about and to talk about. And I don't think that I'm not trying to say we shouldn't do it. That's not what my point is. My point is just that Jesus fucking Christ,
it's a lot.
And, a lot of the stories that I've been told, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, we were talking about how so many of these stories seem so commonplace to us, that this is something that happens every time you do this thing, you know, every time you go to a fundraiser or every time you go to these kind of dinner parties or concerts or whatever, this kind of shit just happens. It's just what happens. And you just sort of, it's part of life. And when people speak up about it and say, this happened to me, you go, yeah, of course it did. You know, and that's not okay. That's not the way that it should be, but that is how we literally have learned to function in the world as women.
Right.
Is we just say, well, that's what happens. That's how life works. That's just how it is. And I think that this is bringing about a good thing for men and women. And I'm glad we're having this conversation, and I think it should be had. And I think it's getting a little bit messy, and I want to get into some of that later. But I guess my just opening is like, I hear you if you're feeling exhausted by all of this, and I know it's bringing up shit, and I know it sucks, and I'm sorry.
And if you are, write to us. I know we have a lot of female listeners, and maybe some of you have or have not wanted to join in the Me Too movement on social media or on Twitter or anywhere else. And if you want to share a story with us that you want us to share or relate to
what's
going on
now. Or you just want to talk to me about what's going on. I hear you. Like, yeah. I'm with you. I'm fucking exhausted too. And I don't want it to be over. I want it to continue. But mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, does it take an emotional toll? It's like every day you're asked to wake up and relive all this shit that you didn't want to think about, that you pushed aside, that you,
right.
you know, you made excuses for and justified. And that's the way that you are able to function as a human woman. And it comes up. And some shit has come up.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to talk to me, I'm here.
So that's irreverenttestimony@gmail.com.
Yeah. I'll read them all and I'll respond, and we can talk about what you want to be shared. And if you don't want it to, that's fine too. But I'm here. I'm with you guys. It's fucking awful. So,
do you want to start with the local stuff or get into the national stuff?
I would rather start with the national stuff. The local stuff is a little too close to home.
All right. So in case you missed it, the senator from Minnesota, Al Franken, it came out, I think, Tuesday that a woman back, I think, in 2006 that he was on a USO tour with. That's where they entertain the troops overseas in war zones and what have you. They do like comedy skits and routines and a whole variety show. And he was there with this. I don't know if she was at the time. She was just a TV personality or an actress or.
I think she was a radio host at the time, but it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. Especially. That's not the point.
Yeah. She was doing a skit with him that he wrote.
He wrote a skit wherein, this is according to her allegations, wrote a skit wherein they have to kiss. She wasn't really comfortable rehearsing it. He's like, no, we have to rehearse it. When they rehearsed it, he allegedly like...
She said to him multiple times, like, this isn't fucking SNL. We're not rehearsing this. It's
just
a kiss for the troops. He's like,
no, we have to rehearse it.
And he insisted to the point where...
She's like, fine, you know, I'll do it. And apparently he shoved his tongue in her mouth and did like a full-on kiss. And she said, don't you ever freaking do that again, something to that effect. And then later he did this mock photo.
Well,
where he
treated her like shit for the rest of the tour.
She claims
that
as well. Yeah.
That he, which is what men do when they are rejected. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there's a photo of him groping her breasts while she is sleeping in like full military garb. They were in Afghanistan, I think. And she's wearing like,
on the plane. Either
yeah. They're like on the plane. She said it was like a really grueling 2 weeks and mm-hmm. she was exhausted and she was in like her like body gear or whatever and
armor.
Sleeping on a plane. And he groped her breasts and someone took a picture of it. And he has this big goofy smile on his face as though, isn't this hilarious?
Yeah. Which is not, even if you
not even a little bit
take the gross factor out of it. But anyway, but here's what Al Franken did that was, and just going back a second, remember how I said someone that you admire and respect and like a lot, this is going to happen to. And this is a pretty good microcosm of that for me personally.
Yeah.
Because I could tell you where some of the other people that have been accused, like I never quite liked them or whatever. Not in this case. I love Al Franken.
Me too.
I'm a big fan. I have all his books. He's a great writer. I think he's been a terrific senator. He's on the right side of pretty much everything. He's been the guy that's been grilling Sessions and essentially set him up for perjury with the congressional hearings. So he's been great. And this was hard.
This was really, really hard. He's one of the more progressive senators in Congress. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he came from comedy, right? He's a comedian and he,
a writer, a comedy actor and all the things.
And he made this bid for the Senate, which a lot of people thought was crazy, but he's turned out to be an incredibly effective one and a mm-hmm. really a fighter for girls and women, and this was really, really hard for a lot of us. And I would like to read his apology, as we have done with Louis C.K.
Okay.
And with.
And then after that, I'll talk about the column I wrote and the reaction to it.
Yep.
And,
but I want to read his apology because I think, as we're progressing, as this Me Too movement has progressed and as apologies have progressed, this is one that I think
should be a template.
I do. And that this does not excuse what he did, which has photographic evidence of what he did. Yes. But I just want to read his apology and we can talk about it. The first thing I want to do is apologize. To Leanne, to everyone else who was part of that tour, to everyone who has worked for me, to everyone I represent, and to everyone who counts on me to be an ally and supporter and champion of women. There's more I want to say, but the first and most important thing, and if it's the only thing you care to hear, that's fine, is I'm sorry. I respect women. I don't respect men who don't. And the fact that my own actions have given people a reason to doubt that makes me feel ashamed. But I want to say something else, too. Over the last few months, all of us, including and especially men who respect women, have been forced to take a good, hard look at our own actions and think, perhaps shamefully for the first time, about how those actions have affected women. For instance, that picture. I don't know what was in my head when I took that picture, and it doesn't matter. There's no excuse. I look at it now and I feel disgusted with myself. It isn't funny. It's completely inappropriate.
Yep.
It's obvious how Leanne would feel violated by that picture. And what's more, I can see how millions of other women would feel violated by it. Women who have had similar experiences in their own lives, women who fear having those experiences, women who look up to me, women who have counted on me. Coming from the world of comedy, I've told and written a lot of jokes that I once thought were funny, but later came to realize were just plain offensive. But the intentions behind my actions aren't the point at all. It's the impact these jokes had on others that matters. And I'm sorry it's taken me so long to come to terms with that. While I don't remember the rehearsal for the skit as Leanne does, I understand why we need to listen to and believe women's experiences. I am asking that an ethics investigation be undertaken, and I will gladly cooperate. And the truth is, what people think of me in light of this is far less important than what people think of women who continue to come forward to tell their stories. They deserve to be heard and believed, and they deserve to know that I am their ally and supporter. I have let them down, and I'm committed to making it up to them. It makes me a little weepy, I have to be honest. Like, it literally does. It makes me, like... I haven't heard anybody say it like that. Just actually say, it doesn't matter how you think of me or what my intentions were or anything else. None of that matters, because what matters wasn't my intention, but was what actually happened to someone else. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing we've been missing this whole time.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it that way. Don't take it so harshly. You're being too sensitive. None of that.
Yeah.
You don't get to decide. It's not up to you to decide.
And virtually nobody is talking about that. This has just been a golden opportunity for both sidesism.
Yeah.
And that's not good, and that's not healthy. Not because, well, for a lot of reasons that we're going to get into. And I'm sorry, we are going to get into the tax bill a little bit later, but a big chunk of the show is going to be on this topic. So I'm sorry if you're sick of that and you're bored of that, go ahead and tune out. Sorry, not sorry.
Not sorry. Sorry. We have things to talk about.
Yeah. Like this is something that's big.
It's happening and it hits close to home for me. And
oh yeah.
I want to talk about it. So if you don't want to hear me talk about it, then listen to something else.
So is it too self-promotional and self-centered to read my column?
No, I think you should read it. Because you and I have been talking, not just on the podcast, but over the past couple of weeks about, you know, this inevitably happening. Now, if you had told me last week it would be Al fucking Franken, I would have told you that you're a crazy person. But the truth is, it's not about Al Franken, and it's not about Roy Moore, and it's not about politics. This happens everywhere, in every sphere, in everything, because of the patriarchy, and because of men in power have gotten away with this for so long.
Yeah.
And you wrote a piece for a very left-wing website.
The most, pretty much.
Daily Kos, and you're gonna read what you wrote, and then we're gonna talk about the problem on the left.
Okay. So the column I wrote is entitled "The Al Franken Revelations Need to Be a Wake-Up Call for Progressives," and I wrote this within hours of this news breaking. And I was a little worried at the time that is this going to age well? Are we going to find out more stuff? This is pretty much where the same place I'm at.
Yeah.
Today. So.
Me too.
But I wrote this on, I guess, so the 16th was Wednesday. I'm all turned around. I don't know. Wednesday,
yeah.
Thursday.
Anyway.
Something.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not a Republican or a Democratic Party problem. This is not a federal, state, or local government problem. This is not an entertainment industry, music industry, or hospitality problem. This problem manifests itself in healthcare, science, research, academia, finance, clergy, military, food service, transportation, manufacturing, and anywhere and everywhere else that men find themselves in a position of power, or even parallel to, other men, women, and girls.
Yep.
Al Franken is not the first, nor will he be the last man that progressives admire and respect to have these charges levied against him. What separates us from them is that this must not be acceptable. There must be no equivocation, no quote, if true, and in this case there's photographic evidence, no conspiracy theories, no questions of timing, delays in reporting, or searching desperately for holes in the story. Believe women. In this case, read the testimony of his accuser, just like you've pored over that of Roy Moore's accusers. It's painful, it will go against your gut instinct, but it's necessary.
Yeah.
It has been easy to this point to view Trump and Moore's sins from our progressive high horses. Those horses have now been violently hurtled back to earth, and there will be more. Be prepared and remember what this is all about. Not political points or advantages. This is about protecting women, girls, and everyone else who is vulnerable to assault and harassment. And finally, men. Women in your life may want to talk about this. It's time to listen. No excuse-making, mansplaining, or offering the, quote, male perspective on why men do this. It's just time to listen, to reflect, to absorb, to take stock of our own behaviors, attitudes, and thought patterns when it comes to this topic. This is the way forward. Let's not sit still or go backwards. So
that's what you wrote.
That's what I wrote.
And this is on the Daily Kos, which is an incredibly left-wing website.
It's sort of an open source.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can write a blog, and then the ones that are more popular get more attention. Anybody can be
right.
A writer. They have an editorial staff and a paid staff, but it's like open to everybody to write.
Yeah.
So I don't get paid. Don't worry.
Right. The backlash has been the response.
Let me quantify it a little bit.
Yeah.
So on Daily Kos, when you write something, you get. You see the number of people that have commented on the number of likes or recommendations. 101 comments, only 3 recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't take that personally because maybe they just thought it was a really shittily written article. That's
Which
fine.
It wasn't.
That's fine.
But okay.
You know, it's not about my ego. But it was kind of eye-opening. And then when you get into the comments, it's also eye-opening.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
It was probably 60-40 poking holes or just completely ignoring what I said and just going after the accuser.
Yes.
And it was sort of surprising, not surprising. And also a lot of these comments were in just the initial few hours that this all happened.
People are still processing and they want
to
lash out and they want to they want to not believe Al Franken, right?
Yeah.
Not Al Franken, of all fucking people.
Few of those people I think are going to come back and go, oh, that comment that I made a couple days ago, now I feel differently. No, it is what it is. But it is telling, right? Because so many of the comments that were defending Al Franken or attacking the accuser were just word for word the stuff of the defending Roy Moore. Just identical.
I know.
Completely identical.
I couldn't even get through them, to be honest. I when I was looking at them, there were 80. And I got through maybe half. And I was like, I'm done. I can't. And what... look, we have a problem on the left. We have a problem. And there needs to be a fucking reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not immune to this.
No.
just because we want reproductive rights for women and because we think that women should have fair pay, and we, you know, sometimes we argue about those things too. We have a reckoning. There needs to be a reckoning, because mm-hmm. we have a fucking problem on the left with women. And this isn't just men. This is Bernie Bros, but this is also white feminists.
Oh yeah.
This is a problem on the left, and we have to start combating it. We really fucking do. Today I read a story where Lena Dunham came out and defended one of the writers of her show Girls, who was accused of raping a 17-year-old actress. She recounts getting drunk at a party at a hotel, waking up at his house with her on top of him having sex with her. And Lena Dunham came out and said, well, one of the first, I believe in many things, but one of the things I believe the most in is to hold up the people that have held me up and filled my heart. And this, sadly, is one of the 3% of sexual assault allegations that is false. And that is the kind of thing that makes us them.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that we absolutely fucking cannot tolerate. We can't tolerate it. We can't. And we are just as guilty as them. Maybe we use different language and maybe there's some whatever. But the fact is, patriarchy has infiltrated every part of our culture.
Yeah.
And there's no getting away from it.
Yeah.
And it's affected everything. Including left, right, center, in between, it doesn't matter, right? And when I say there will be men that are accused of these things that you like and admire, I mean men that you might know. I mean men that you might admire.
Might be related to.
Might be related to you, that you might be married to. This is not a thing about politics. This is about how women in society are treated.
Yeah.
And when we come to the defense of men that we love and men that we know, we do the exact same disservice as men do when they come to the defense of other men who do this on the other side.
So we can't
do that. We can't. We absolutely cannot let it happen.
Let's give a primer, right, if we can. And forget, remember, Lena Dunham is 27, and I remember being 27, and I was kind of an idiot.
She's a baby. She's a problem, though. I mean,
Yeah. We can talk.
I love her, but
let's not get too into the weeds on Lena Dunham.
Let's not.
We know she's controversial, or whatever you want to say, and divisive, but in any event, I don't think she offered like any evidence to her claims.
Her evidence was, I love this man, and he's been very good to me, and therefore he couldn't possibly have done this.
So look, on a personal level, if this is somebody you love and admire, you're close to, and these horrible charges come out, how about just not saying anything and looking into it and seeing if there is truth to it?
Right.
How about that? I know it's tough. Like, and I empathize with Lena Dunham. Like, what if it was my dad?
Right.
Like, but if it was my dad, I would start asking him some tough questions. And I would start looking into it before, you know, just knee-jerk coming out and say, well, this can't
possibly be true because I know him.
Right.
I love him. He's been good to me.
Right.
Right.
And maybe that makes me a bad person. I'm not sure.
I don't know either.
I don't think so.
I don't know either.
But this believing woman has to... Now, obviously, if it's somebody close to you and you don't want to knee-jerk condemn them and you want to find out if there's truth to it, then yeah, do that. But you don't go the other way either. Like, does this make sense?
Yes.
What I'm saying makes sense?
Yes.
Like, can we err on the side of maybe I just won't say anything?
Can we err on the side of believe women and figure out what's going on with the men that you love rather than condemning the women who have come forward, or men?
Because
in the case of the thing that's happening to me right now.
Right. Like, if a man is guilty of these things in your life that you care about, the best thing you can do for him is get him to apologize and face his own behavior.
Yeah.
That is the kindest thing you can do.
That's the only responsible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's no condemning, and there's no... we can't become them. We can't say, oh, this person is lying and this is one of those 3%. That's just cruelty from someone who's supposed to be your ally.
Yeah.
That's almost a worse betrayal than men doing it. Is women doing it? Is women saying, I can't possibly believe that's true, and that woman must be lying, and this is one of the 2%. That's just cruelty. And
Lena Dunham has a big fan base of people who love what she does politically and as an actress, and so now are we going to start taking sides because of what she said? And it's just a mess. It's a goddamn mess. And she needs to understand that she has a little more responsibility because she has... chose
just
to
because
make
this
herself.
Person has never done it to you does not mean they've never done it to anyone else.
Of course, of course.
I mean, you and I were at dinner last night. We were talking about this, like, oh well, you know, that serial killer didn't kill literally everyone he ever met. Therefore, he must not
innocent,
have killed anyone.
Right.
That's not how it works.
Hasn't raped every woman he's ever met.
Right.
So
therefore, he's not a rapist. That's not how the fucking world works. That's not how any of this works. And look. We're going to get into some nuance and we're going to get into some difficulty. And this conversation has caused an explosion of things.
Yes.
And we're in
a frenzy right now.
Yes. And there are differences between actions, and we have to recognize that too. And we have to recognize false equivalencies. At the same time, we have to not protect people that we love just because they were good to us and ignore people who say that they hurt them. That's the worst thing that we can possibly do.
Agreed.
And so this is hard for everyone, and it's going to be hard for everyone. And for the men out there listening, I hear you. I know this is hard because all of you are doing an inventory, I think, right now.
Hopefully.
About
some of them, at least.
What have I done? And maybe this one and that one. And
maybe at this party.
And does it cost me my career? And does it cost me my thing? And what if someone says something? I hear that. And that's scary because probably when those things happened, we were in a different time than we are now.
Yeah.
That didn't make them okay then, and it doesn't make them okay now. And you may pay a price for those things. And maybe that's fair, and maybe it's not. But trust me when I tell you, it's been harder for us this whole time.
Oh, yeah.
This whole time, it's been harder for us than it is for you right now. It's always been hard. We've always been in a place where we aren't safe and we don't know who to trust. And even the people that we've decided to trust sometimes betray us and sometimes hurt us and sometimes assault us and sometimes kill us. And so this reckoning may hit you. And that may be unfair or fair, but I promise you it's not harder for you than it has been for us our entire fucking lives. So it is what it is. And the reckoning's been a long time coming, and it's here. And you know what? The other thing about the reckoning is, Trav?
What?
Some people are going to get swept up in it that maybe shouldn't.
Well, I guess
and that's just part of what's going to happen.
Yeah, I guess we better get into that.
And that it just is. There are going to be some men who made some questionable decisions that some of us have brushed off and some of us don't feel like they had to. And those men are going to get swept up in this too. And that's going to hurt a lot of people. But I don't want the reckoning to stop because of that.
It can't.
It can't.
Yeah.
And we have to do it on our own side. We absolutely have to look at these. To your point, to the article that you wrote, the comments were just so heartbreaking for me. Like, what you wrote wasn't particularly inflammatory. It wasn't particularly provoking of anyone. It was just, it seemed to me very well-written and factual and a good point. And the people that have commented were really, and again, maybe it's because it was just hours after it happened, but I don't know, like there's a toxicity on the left about women.
Yeah.
And we really like to laud ourselves as champions of women. That's a thing that we do. And some people wish that we wouldn't do it.
Should I just read some of the comments?
Yeah.
For context?
Yeah.
Because
the guy talking about how you can't grope someone over body armor.
Yeah.
And then someone else saying, like, this is obviously a staged photo. She had to be in on it. And just weird things that was like, what are you talking about? And he's a comedian. It's fine. Like, he's a comedian. That's just a comedy bit. And you're like, it's not a fucking comedy bit. That's a sleeping woman being groped by someone. And can we talk about the complicity of everyone else in that fucking room? Who took that picture? Who else was standing in that room?
Okay.
Who let that happen? I'm serious about this.
Oh, no.
Who fucking let that happen? Someone else took that picture and it wasn't Al Franken. That wasn't a selfie. And how many people were in that room and how many people let that happen? And every single one of those motherfucking people are just as complicit as Al Franken is in that goddamn quote stunt, because all of them let a sleeping woman be sexually assaulted by someone and thought it was funny.
The photographer,
and that is a problem.
The photographer has a weird story in that he is claiming everybody, including she, was in on it, which seems very unlikely. But in any event, let me talk about some of the comments to the story, because the first comment was like, just Franken should resign. And the response to that was, nope, wrong. Bad taste, yes. Stupid, yes. Owe her a full public apology, yes. Sexual groping through body armor while the stage picture is taken, really? Al being a pig does not become you, but don't worry about, quote, stepping down. Pre-canned Russian talking points spread by obvious right-wingers ain't ever going to make that happen.
Okay, so I promise you I'm not being paid by Russia to talk about how Al Franken shouldn't grope women when they're sleeping. Let's just get that on the record.
Here's another one to my quote set where I said, there must be no equivocation, no if true, and there's photographic evidence. And then this guy says, if the accusation is groping, you can't grope someone through body armor. The intent could only be common joke, which is obvious. Okay.
I mean, what we're saying, if a Republican had done that to a woman, the left would be rightfully freaking out. In this case, we cannot protect our own. We can't. Because it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative or a liberal or a progressive or anything else. You could be fucking Elizabeth Warren, and if you did something, I will call you out on it, because it's not about politics. It's about not hurting people and not demeaning them and humiliating them and abusing them. That's what this is about. It has nothing to do with what your politics are. At the same time, I will say one thing.
Yeah, I'm listening.
I do not think Al Franken should resign.
Okay.
The only reason I think that is because if we are really looking after the best interests of women, I think he votes in the best interest of women. I think he should not seek re-election, likely. I think he should.
I have a problem with that, Rachel, and I'll tell you exactly why
in a
second. But no, finish your thought.
The best interest of women sometimes is having people in power who vote the way they should to protect you.
Ugh, okay.
And I know that's an ugly truth, but it is a truth.
Okay, I gotta jump in. Here's my big, big problem with that. Even though it's on the bizarro side of the universe, what do they call it in Stranger Things?
The upside down.
Even though it's in the upside down, that is the core of the same argument that Republicans are making for still wanting Roy Moore to be in the Senate. And that is I have a problem with that. They are basically saying, yeah, that's really bad that he did that.
That's a false equivalency.
It is in the sense that, yes, the crimes are not
nearly equivalent.
But the philosophy that they're taking with them is the same.
Yeah.
And that's what I have a problem with.
Yeah.
And
I know.
I think it's super unfortunate that if this let's first of all, we don't know for sure if there are not going to be more allegations against Al Franken. We don't know that. And unfortunately,
right.
I'm not predicting anything. Who knows? But unfortunately, these things very rarely.
Well, like we have always said, you don't just decide one day to be a fucking
pig
and then you're like, oh, that didn't work out for me. Never mind. Like, it's not
it
a thing.
Right.
That's you. This is not. The men in my life do not do these things.
So if just this by itself or something else forced Al Franken to resign, and we lose a great champion of women's rights And then that's on Al Franken.
That hurts me, though. No, that hurts women.
Okay. If you are an evangelical Christian in the Upside Down and you have the beliefs that Roy Moore espouses, which we think are all horrible and evil and terrible.
They are.
But if you have those beliefs, then you're making the same bargain. That's my problem.
I know.
And in terms of what they're accused of, yes, it is not equal. But they can sit here.
Not even close.
Sue from Montgomery, Alabama can say, that's what I'm saying. And that's another piece of reckoning I think we have to do as well.
I know.
This is really hard.
It's hard.
For everybody.
Because what we're saying is he has to go and someone could take his place who's going to hurt hundreds of millions of women.
Potentially.
With their vote. Okay. And I don't want that. I don't want that.
In the political reality, though, there's a Democratic governor in Minnesota, and he can appoint somebody else, and they would probably win re-election. And that Senate seat is probably safe. But I want to talk about a universe where maybe it wasn't.
Right.
Because
me too.
Because that's the core of
yeah, that's the core of what about. I'm saying.
Right. At first I was like, he has to resign, because his first statement was kind of mealy mouth. It was kind of, well, I don't remember it that way, but I'm sorry if she's offended. It was like stock bullshit response to these things.
Yeah.
Then he had that much better statement that we read. And since that statement, I'm a little more ambivalent on whether he should resign. He opened an ethics investigation, which is interesting. And then some people like our friend Kager are looking into that a little sideways, as in maybe it's not what it seems, and an ethics investigation would reveal something about Roger Stone, and I'm not going down that path.
Okay, I don't want to get into any of that. That's not where I'm at.
Hey, if evidence does come out that this isn't what it seems, then great, but
I'm not doing that. I default to believing
women.
Absolutely,
period.
And he admitted, and there's photographic. I mean, there's no question about Al Franken, right? Even his one part of his apology that I take umbrage with is... I remember the rehearsal differently, which is like, dude, if you're going to take fucking responsibility, take fucking responsibility.
Yeah, I'd rather he didn't say that.
Maybe even if he doesn't remember it that way, just don't fucking say that. Yeah. Don't fucking say it, because what you're saying is she's lying. That's all you're saying.
Right.
You're just saying maybe that didn't actually happen.
Right.
There's evidence, photographic, that this happened, so I have to take responsibility for that. But the other thing, there really isn't, so maybe I won't. And that's irritating.
When I was reading it, I was thinking of the Mark Halperin apology, which was full of defensiveness.
Ugh.
It was, I'm sorry, but I'm not that bad, because I didn't do this here and I did do that there, and I'm sorry, but this wasn't as bad as it seems, and these people are anonymous, so I can't really defend myself.
Right.
And like, Al Franken just wiped all that away.
Right. I mean, when we've been getting better and better, right? There's Mark Halperin, which I was like, not terrible. Then I was like, Louis C.K., even better. And then I was like, Al Franken, the very best. And hopefully we just get better and better at apologizing to women for treating them like they aren't human.
Well, hopefully we stop groping women.
Hopefully we stop treating women like they aren't human at all.
Apologize, right?
Maybe we just start treating women like they're fucking people, and then we stop having to fucking apologize about how we treat women.
That's
maybe we could do that.
I'm into that, yeah.
I would love that.
Let's do that.
So fucking much.
Right. I totally forgot about Louis C.K. God.
I didn't.
That was only last week.
No, I didn't. And I...
Oh, God.
I have time. There was a... You know, my love for Louis C.K. prior to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's sort of a comedic genius, but I'm not alone. And Pamela Adlon... I don't know if you know who she is, but she's been in most of the shows he's ever done, and she's been a longtime friend of his forever. And she came out with a statement that said basically exactly what you would say if you were someone like her, which is, I had no idea, and all I want to do is like mourn for the women who he did this to, and it's disgusting. And like, she, you know, unequivocally. Then Sarah Silverman came out. And I mean, they've been friends for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, I obviously didn't know. And when I asked him, when things started to come to the surface, he would tell me it was a lie. Mm-hmm. And I believed him. And is it okay to love someone who's done something bad?
Is she asking?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is if they honestly atone for it. But, you know, it's not my position to say because I'm not the victim. That's for the victims to answer, I think.
It is, but it's also for all of us. Because I promise you, you're going to find somebody in your life who you love who's done something bad. You're going to, and you're going to be faced with that very question that Sarah Silverman was faced with.
I think as Americans...
Which is, can you love someone who did something bad? Can you forgive them? Are you allowed to do that? How do we start? Do we accept apologies or do we not?
Well,
where are we in terms of apologies? Do we accept them? Do we not accept them? Do we think these people are monsters forever? Can they change? I mean, we're in this moment where we have to talk about this stuff.
I think as Americans or just humans overall, I think we are very, very apt to forgive. If you show real contrition and real remorse. I mean, hell, that's even the core of our judicial system.
It is.
What gets the who does the worst at sentencing?
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are still defiant in the face. Of course, we can get into that because
that's an entirely different thing.
And
only if you admit to it, and then even if you didn't do it, and then you say I'm sorry, and then they'll let you out on parole, and it's a whole other thing.
But whether right or wrong,
we believe in forgiveness.
The judges want to hear contrition when they're sentencing somebody. So even at the core of our justice system. But
that's the core of who we are.
Right. We espouse forgiveness when there is contrition.
Yep.
When there's true remorse.
This week's been really hard. But I would say that... I don't know. I don't know. I know that you can't...
Well, this conversation and debate, I think, is a good lead into what we're going to talk about in the second half, which is the shades of gray.
Yeah.
And
the equivalencies I've been having
and not equivalencies between what's happened. And then we'll get into some local stuff here that has been big in the local papers because it's people that Rachel know very personally.
Yeah, it is.
And we just have a couple of minutes before the break. Any closing thoughts on what we've sort of talked about here in the first half?
I don't know if... we're supposed to forgive them right now or not? I don't know. But I think we have to believe that people can grow and they can change.
Absolutely.
And I think we have to believe that, right? And I want to believe it. I don't know. I don't know the answer to her question. I don't know. But it's hard. It's a hard question to answer. And it's a hard question to face. And gosh, it just brings up so much shit. This whole thing is just like, you know, welcome to Snowflake Land with trigger warnings is the news. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like every day I get up is like, oh no, that happened to me and that happened to me and that happened to me. And you know what I mean? It's like, it's just this constant fucking barrage of shit that you don't think about every day. And it sucks. So lots of self-care, all of you out there. And I'll try to find an answer about... when do we forgive them and how, or do we, or are they all the same? And is it unfair to victims to forgive anyone ever? Or I don't know. But this week I feel different than I did last week and I'm struggling with all of it.
And next week there'll be even more and more to unpack and more to process. No pun intended because of Roy Moore. Because we haven't even gotten to the latest allegations against him yet.
Which we will definitely do. But anyway, it's just been hard and, you know, if y'all want to talk, you email me or tweet me or whatever, and just take care of yourselves.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we have more of this to discuss. We will get into the tax bill a little bit.
Is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, spoiler, it sucks.
Spoiler, it's fucking awful. Spoiler, Republicans don't know anything,
spoiler,
and they're wrong about
everything.
Spoiler, it
sucks, and everything hates it.
Literally wrong about everything.
And it might guarantee us the House if they actually make the mistake of passing it, but we'll be screwed in the meantime.
Yes.
Okay, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to Irreverent Testimony. So, I think now, as we talked about, we're in this sort of frenzy of the Me Too movement, about everybody coming forward with their stories of being harassed, groped, assaulted, worse, you name it. Women and some men are coming forward with their stories.
Yeah.
And that's really important. What's also important, I think, to understand, which we're going to talk about, Rachel's going to do most of the talking, is about how not all accusations and crimes, just like any other realm of offense or crime or bad things people do to another, they're not all the same. They're just not. And I think it's important to talk about these distinctions. And not only are the crimes not the same, but the way that the perpetrators react or don't react, or what they say or do, is also not the same. So, Rachel, you want to try to talk about that a little bit and make sense of what I'm saying?
God, I wish I could. It's hard, right? It's really hard because there's this moment that's eclipsing everything, that all these people are coming forward with these stories about how they've been treated, and none of them are okay.
Yeah.
None of them are okay. And what I'm struggling with as a human woman who's lived for 34 years is that some of them, while none of them are okay, some of them seem like things that just happen in life. And I don't think I'm a good person to judge whether that's okay or not. But some of them seem like that's just what happens. And I'm really struggling with the false equivalencies that are being drawn partisan-wise, right? Like, you have Roy Moore trying to make a 14-year-old girl who he picked up at a restaurant and drove behind a dumpster blow him, and trying to make that equivalent to someone making a pass at someone else at a dinner party and it not going well.
Or somebody taking a picture of grabbing their boobs.
Right. And I don't think those things are the same.
They're not.
And
they're just not.
They just are not the same. They just aren't. And
that doesn't mean that the lighter end of these are okay.
No, none of it is okay at all. None of it's okay. Like, full stop.
Yeah.
But there are differences, and those differences are hard to parse out.
Sometimes, yeah.
And I think we need to look at these things. I just don't want us to drive ourselves over the cliff and fuck this up.
Well, I think that may have been some of the pushback to my article about Al Franken, was some people's gut instinct to say, whoa, 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 this isn't Roy Moore. And
right, this isn't Harvey Weinstein.
Right, I'm not trying to say it is. That's not the point either.
No.
And this is such an emotionally charged deal here that it's just easy for us to get into these extremes, right? The extreme reactions.
Look, y'all, patriarchy and sexual assault and objectifying and demeaning of women has been around forever. And women have found ways to put up with and deal with this forever. And none of it's right, and none of it is okay.
Well, can we get into the partisan angle a little bit?
Yeah.
The false equivalencies do drive me crazy, but at the same time, part of me is like, okay, good, yes, get mad about this. And I know, okay, you're only getting mad about it because now you have a Democrat to point to, but yes.
Right.
Get mad about it like we're mad about it.
Yeah.
And like, maybe we can join forces here and say this is unacceptable in all capacity. It doesn't matter political affiliation. I mean, that's kind of a pipe dream. I know it's going to be partisan, but
yes.
And if the media and others would hold Republicans' feet to the fire when they do get very angry about Al Franken or Bill Clinton, for that matter,
or
Harvey Weinstein
or Kevin Spacey,
and say, okay, great, believe women, no matter who is accused,
right?
I can't take Sean Hannity seriously when he does the whole piece on how horrible Bill Clinton's behaviors were when he just denied all of Roger Ailes' accusers for months and months and months.
And Bill O'Reilly's.
No, well, maybe not O'Reilly because he hates O'Reilly, but Roger Ailes, yeah, they have a horrible rivalry.
Oh, I didn't know.
But I don't watch that I think shit. He didn't say shit about O'Reilly.
I can't do any. I can't do it.
I know, but the point is, like, I can't take him seriously, but maybe there's others out there who want to join with us and say, you know what? It's wrong across all spectrums. And we can all, Democrats or Republicans or whoever, point it all out when it's gross and wrong and say it's unacceptable. That's a pipe dream. I know.
Yeah.
But I don't sort of have the same knee-jerk reaction of, oh, these fucking Republicans trying to draw false equivalencies. It's like, no, I want you to be mad about this. I wish it was for the right reasons, but maybe this is a start, at least if you are mad
about
somebody that's accused of these things.
I agree. And I think a lot of the knee-jerk from the left has been about hypocrisy.
Sure.
Because there is a difference on the left and on the right about how women are viewed.
Yes, of
and
course.
How women are treated.
Of course.
And the rights of women are different across the right and the left.
Of course.
Women tend to look at Republican, you know, senators and congresspeople and people in power and conservative people across the board as it seems a little more hypocritical when you're saying, I refuse to have dinner with a woman other than my wife, or women don't have the right to their own autonomy with reproductive rights.
Yes.
Or women,
we had to shame Republicans into reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act.
Right.
For
like they refuse to do that. So there's a difference on the left and the right in terms of how women are viewed, talked about, treated, and legislated. Yeah. And so I think that that's part of where women come down.
Yeah.
At the same time, there is no illusion in my mind that woke, quote, men haven't hurt women. Of course they have, because that's not about that. That's about the system that's in place. That's about patriarchy. That's about how women are seen by society as a whole,
right?
Mm-hmm. As sort of just less human than you are. Mm-hmm. Just a little less human than you are. Not entirely less for some people, but less for most of you. We're just not as human as you. So it's easier to do things to us than it is to do to men. And that has allowed men on the left and the right to commit atrocities, really, among two women. Forever.
That's a good word for it, yeah.
And so while we want to defend people like Al Franken or Louis C.K., if you're so inclined, I would just say this. As a woman, it doesn't feel political to me. It doesn't feel political to me the way that I'm treated by men, no matter who they are. The way that I'm treated by men as a whole, on the whole, throughout my life, isn't a political issue. It is a being a woman in America issue.
Yes.
And all of you can be better at this than you are.
Yep.
And it fucking sucks. It does. And it's not political. Now, part of the reason I became political is because of that. And part of the reason I'm a Democrat is because I think Democrats vote better for my ability to exist than Republicans. It's just a fact. When you look at the voting record of Democrats and Republicans, Democrats tend to think that I'm a human more than Republicans think that I'm a human. And so those things matter. But when it comes to women reporting these cases, so let's talk about Roy Moore's most recent accuser, right?
Was that this week?
Yeah.
I say that every week.
I know.
It was, I forget her name, but
yeah,
just very sort of typical Alabama older white lady, totally plausible.
She,
with Gloria Allred.
Gloria Allred is her lawyer.
Yes.
And God bless her. I love her. She's representing this woman who claims that when she was 16, she was at a restaurant and she had previously known him for some reason or another. And he offered her a ride home.
Right.
Roy Moore.
Yeah, this was not a date.
No.
It was not anything like that. It was like,
she was walking out of the restaurant. Yeah.
Do you need a ride home? Because her boyfriend didn't show up or something.
Right. Somebody didn't show up, so he offered her a ride home. She said yes. She got in his car.
Yes, the DA.
Yep. He drove around the back of the restaurant, parked between the dumpster and the building, and attempted to have her fellate him.
Yes.
Pushed her head down. She was trying to get out of the car. She was twisting around. He was groping her. He was trying to take her clothes off. I mean, it's just the nightmare scenario of any parent of a teenage daughter.
Or
and
any
every woman.
Woman
that's ever existed, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And she was telling this story publicly. She was at a press conference, right?
Yeah.
And she was crying. And I was watching it, and I was at work. I was on my lunch break, and I was watching her tell the story, and I was, like, getting a little weepy. And, you know, I try not to cry at work. Who fucking wants to cry at work? And then I go on Twitter, and there's all this, like, well, you know, she must be a good actress if 40 years later she can cry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this backlash, and I was like, you do not, you fundamentally do not understand what trauma is.
No.
When something like that happens and you have not talked about it for 40 years and you finally get to talk about it and you've talked about it and talked about it, right?
It's
with your lawyer and your husband.
As the day it happened.
It is exactly the same. It is, talking about it is fucking traumatic. And naming it and naming the person and talking about what actually happened in that fucking car 40 years ago, that trauma isn't just like, oh, it happened 40 years ago. She's such a good actress. That's fucking serious. Like, her reaction to that made me emotional because I was like, abso-fucking-lutely. Like, that is exactly how it feels.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away. It doesn't.
And we should point out that she offered a, for some reason, he signed her high school yearbook.
Yes.
Which is very weird because he obviously didn't work at her school.
No.
He said, to the most beautiful girl I know.
I couldn't just not say Merry Christmas or something. And
something.
Then signed it Roy Moore and then DA and then 1977 or something.
Which
and
has become
like,
a...
Jesus.
A point of contention for the Moore campaign who were saying it's a forgery.
It's a forgery, yeah.
But
it's his exact
anyway,
handwriting,
they showed
but it's
it
a
to
forgery.
Be like, look, Roy Moore knew me and liked me. Look, here's proof. This is creepy enough, but... And she also went on to point out, which I may or may not discuss, me and you had an interesting discussion about this, that she, I understand why she did this. She made it a point to say, me and my husband are Trump supporters, so
yes.
don't think this is
yes.
a political thing, which made me kind of shake my head, and then Rachel yes. kind of straightened me out about that.
Yes.
And talked me off the ledge about that. We might yes. talk about that later if
we should
have time.
Talk about it right now.
Okay. Oh, that deflated me when I heard that.
Yeah.
And not because of politics. If you think Make America Great Again and you... think he's got a good plan for ISIS and you think he's going to make the economy running, whatever. The fact that this woman could not possibly be ignorant to the fact that at least 16 women that we know of have accused Donald Trump of very similar things. Granted, I don't think any of them were kids, although the one, there is one.
Well, he walked into dressing rooms of Miss America pageant people who were absolutely underage.
Well,
to
sure,
watch them
and I
dressed.
Forgot about the girl who claimed she was raped when she was 13
Correct.
Or 12.
Correct. Plus, he had like a sex trafficking ring, apparently.
But anyway, the point is, this woman had to be aware of these 16 other women who have accused Trump of very similar actions. And she voted for him anyway,
yes.
despite her trauma in her youth with Roy Moore. And I didn't get it, and I was flummoxed by it, and Rachel sort of explained it to me. So I'm sure those in the audience might be asking the same thing. So explain it to them, please.
All right. So this isn't about politics, right? This happens to people of all political character and all across the spectrum. And it's become a thing that doesn't define you politically, I would say, and that you sort of sweep under the rug, like you've talked about, and that you just kind of don't make a big deal about. And when someone else makes a big deal about it, sometimes I think it brings up triggering shit for you because you're like, why is this bitch saying some shit when I don't want to think about that?
Mm.
And I get it. Like, she voted for Trump because she wanted to make America great again. And she, you know, she saw all of the sexual assault shit and thought, yeah, yeah, that's everybody. That's everybody. That's literally what they all do. That's what every man does. I can't possibly judge a man by that because there would be no men left.
And she's coming out against more because it actually happened to her personally.
Yes, it did. Yeah. And that's, I think, really hard for men to wrap their heads around, but...
Well, I think it's hard for everybody to wrap their heads around.
Not everybody.
Well, I would do this then. If I could, I would maybe say to her... Well, I wouldn't do this, but in an alternate universe where we could maybe ask these things, I'd be like, well, I'm just curious about how you feel about other women who hear your story and believe it but still vote for Roy Moore.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know the answer to that.
Right. Well, it's what we were talking about earlier, which I think we should talk about, and this is hard, but I think it's important. I don't think Al Franken should resign.
Okay.
I don't. I think that in the large scheme of what's best for women in America, he is probably better than most people would be for women.
Okay. Let me ask you this, though, Rachel.
Yeah.
What if not for his very beautiful, eloquent apology, he had just denied everything? Would you still say that?
No.
Okay. I'm glad you... I mean, I thought you were going to say that, but...
No.
That makes a lot more sense.
No. I don't know why, and maybe I'm wrong, and I might get a lot of hate mail for this, and that's okay, but I'm just being honest. No. If he had not said what he said, taken ownership of what he did, if he didn't have the track record that he does... of protecting women and helping women. Mm-hmm. I don't think he should seek re-election. I think he should find a woman to run for his seat and support her 1,000% Absolutely. And have her win.
Yes.
But I don't know that we should, you know, put that seat, that very, very fucking crucial seat up for re-election at a time when women are under attack. I don't know that that's the best thing for American women. And that is selfish. And if
it is politically calculated,
accuser is... upset about that and she doesn't want that to be the case, then I'm sorry and we can talk and maybe you're right.
But for the large portion of
American women, Al Franken is good for women. He is good for women in terms of politics, is our actual fucking lives.
Let's talk about what his accuser said, because that's another big difference between these other accusations that are flying around against famous politicians, right? Mm-hmm. Especially from the other side of the aisle. She was on, I don't know if it was The View or one of those shows.
Yeah.
And the apology broke, and she herself read it on the air and said, I accept the apology, and I don't think he should resign. I'm satisfied with this.
Okay. Well,
now, that doesn't mean the court of public opinion has to agree with that.
No, it doesn't. But there's another thing that we were talking about that I just want to fucking say for a second, which is... The rights of the accuser sometimes get bogged down in the court of public opinion for me. Sometimes the people who are accusing someone of something, or the people who have been hurt by someone, or the people who society has decided should be hurt by something are not, or they take it differently, or they have a different opinion about it. And I don't think that we listen to them very well. And if this woman, who came forward against one of the most popular progressive senators ever, felt like she needed to say something and then felt vindicated by his apology and his recognition of what he did, does that count for something or doesn't it? And I think sometimes we don't take enough account of that. Sometimes we think, I know what's best for you, right?
Yeah.
We do that to women a lot. We say, yes, you think it's fine, but it's not fine. And sometimes I just feel like that's sort of dehumanizing to women. Like, no, I'm telling you it's fucking fine. It's infantilizing. Like, no, I'm telling you I'm fine, and you're telling me I'm not fine, and that's not better than, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, especially in some of these, like, you know, the age of the selfie and the age of the sexting with the teenagers and,
right.
and these teenage girls sending boob pics to their boyfriends and having it called child pornography right, and the right, girls right. saying that's not what it was. He's my boyfriend and he's 2 years older than me, but we're in love and they prosecute him anyway. And her feelings about this are not at all.
Yeah. But I can see where the law comes from on this because If the family of a murder victim says, I don't want this person to get the death
penalty.
That
takes serious, that is taken very seriously by judges and juries.
It can, but it's not necessarily a hard or
it's
fast
not.
Rule.
It's not. You know? And I'm not saying that's, I don't know. Like I said, I'm having a really hard week with all of this. I feel really conflicted about a lot of things because this shit is nuanced. Yeah. And it's complicated, and human sexuality is complicated, and I'm not making excuses for people that hurt people, but I'm just saying there's some shit we need to talk about, and I don't know. She said what happened. He admitted he did that and apologized. She accepted his apology. Okay. So now what? She got exactly what she asked for. She feels fine. She feels, I don't know how she feels, but she accepted what
he
said.
Well, we have to take her at her word, just like
we had
to take her accusations at their word.
Right.
You know, you can't do one and not the other.
Right. You believe women, and when she says, I accept
this apology,
and I accept it, and I don't think you should resign, because I think she feels that I do, that he's good for women. Maybe he's not good for an individual on a USO tour, and maybe he's not good in a room. Maybe there will be a bunch more accusers.
We
I
don't
know.
Don't know. No.
But the person that accused him of this has said that that's acceptable. And there's going to be a bunch of feminists yelling at me about how, you know, she's been socialized to defer to men and she's supposed to say that this is okay. And I know. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Can you,
I know.
Can you say
but
that about a woman who came out?
Can we not have any agency at any point? Can we give each other some fucking agency and
yeah.
say, you're allowed to say that happened and I forgive you?
I'm
because
over it.
I fucking have.
Yeah.
I have in my own personal life. I have enough agency to say that happened and we talked about it and you apologized and I'm okay.
Yeah.
And if I can do that, I'm pretty sure anybody can. And I would be very upset if criminal charges or public shame or whatever against some of these people came out, because it's not about them ultimately, right?
Right.
It's about me.
It's about the
victims. It's about the person that it happened to.
No, that's a really good point.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm kind of all over the place this week and I apologize.
I'm
really struggling with this week. It's really been rough.
Do you want to get into some of the local stuff?
Yeah. So, in the Colorado State Congress, there have been many allegations recently that have been alleged by people that I know and people that I am close to and people that I that I know. I'm going to talk about some of them and not others. The big sort of one that came out this last week was against Representative State House Rep Steve Lebsack. He's a Democrat. And he was appointed by our Speaker, Chrisanta Duran. And he has been accused. He was initially accused by Faith Winter, who's another House Rep, of just sexual misconduct, not assault necessarily. And 9 more accusers have come forward. He's kind of gone off the rail a little bit about this blackmail thing and said, like, he's being blackmailed by people. His version of blackmailing, though, is kind of funny. He's like, I'm being blackmailed by being offered a job in Georgia for six figures to be a lobbyist. And I'm like, that's not actually blackmail. And also when people come public about things, that's also not blackmail. Blackmail is when they threaten to come public and then you pay them to not do so.
Yeah.
So I don't think he knows what that word means exactly. But
no, that word doesn't mean what he thinks it means.
Yeah.
He hopes we don't know what it means.
Right. He's really playing the victim card here.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
denying everything. He's saying this didn't happen. I've never done anything criminal. He's been really careful in his language, like we talked about with Jeff Sessions. Really careful in his language to not say he didn't do it. He's
right.
just really careful to say what he did wasn't criminal. But yeah, nine other women past Faith Winter have come forward and said that he has acted inappropriately in a professional work environment against them. These are including lobbyists and operatives and interns, staffers, a whole host of women have come forward. And he is absolutely acting like a giant baby. And I would like to point out, I guess, that this is absolutely 100,000,000,000% nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Democratic state house rep accusing a state senator of these things.
State senator.
A Democratic state senator. So this is within our own party.
Oh, yeah.
This is not about
there will be more
taking down
party stuff.
Right. This isn't about taking down a Republican.
And there will be inter-party stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be all over the place.
It's
going to
be all over the place.
You're going to have Democrats accusing Republicans accusing Republicans, Democrats accusing Democrats. It's
yeah,
going to be a whole thing.
It's all over the place. But, you know, you certainly can't look at these accusations and think that they're partisan in any way.
Right.
These
they're
women
not.
Are not partisan.
That's the only thing he hasn't said yet, that the Republicans
right.
are somehow behind it. He can't because all of his accusers
all
are Democrats.
All of his accusers are Democrats, Democratic operatives,
yeah.
interns, or staffers.
Yeah,
these are all people that he's worked with. So
yes.
these are not, none of them are Republicans.
Right.
And for a Democrat to come out against a Democrat in a state as purple as ours, I believe women anyway, but that is, it must have been pretty violating for them to do that, because our state is 30-30-30,
mm-hmm.
as we talk about, right?
Yeah.
Our state's 30% Democrat, 30% Republican, 30% Independent, and everything is always up for grabs here. And for these women to have come forward, I think, is an act of courage and bravery, and I applaud them all, and I think Rep. Lebsack should resign. Crisanta Duran, who is our House Speaker, the first female Latina Lat Speaker that we've ever had, there were some calls for her to resign over this because she appointed him, which is really, that's kind of the ledge I'm talking about where this Me Too thing can go, is there are people that did bad things and there are people that are complicit in those bad things, and then there is this spreading it where it doesn't need to go. I do not believe that Crisanta Duran, Speaker Duran, has any at all responsibility in this. I do not believe that she knew what she knew when she appointed him.
There also an issue that she covered something up or didn't disclose something? I thought there was something else with her too.
It is... No.
Okay.
Someone said something to her, which was anonymous, which she could do nothing about, after she had appointed him. And the point is, put blame where blame is due. Crisanta Duran, Speaker Duran, did not sexually harass these women.
No, of course not. Of course not.
And so to put it on her is to take away the blame where the blame goes, which
right.
is the man who did it.
Right.
And let's always remember that, because there's always blame to go around and there's always complicity to talk about, but never let complicity be the thing that you lean on instead of putting blame where blame is, which is that men have actual, Travis, do you have actual control over your body and mind?
Unlike Mike Pence, apparently, yes.
Do you have the ability to not sexually assault and harass women?
I think so.
So you've never done that, as far as you can recall?
As far as I can recall, I've never done that.
And it's not something that you do regularly?
Okay, well...
And so if you were to sexually harass someone, should I be to blame? Because
no.
I know you?
No.
No, it's your fault because you fucking did it.
Right.
You did that.
Right.
Not me.
The only other
not
other
any
example
other
would
woman
be like,
around you. Not a woman, particularly in a very high place of leadership in our state.
No, no. But if I was abusing or mistreating somebody and you knew it and didn't do anything about it,
it would still be your fault.
It would, oh yes, it would still be my fault. But,
because don't do
but,
that.
But then there's some level of complicity,
a creed,
or
of
culpability,
course.
Right?
Of course. Well, okay. And I would never allow you. I know.
But we're in the hypothetical terms.
Agreed. Of course. Yes, I would be complicit, and that would be complicity. But it would still be your fault for doing it. We should never not remember that.
Right. Of course.
Because we can attack people all around these people we love as much as we want.
Oh, I'm sure Lebsock loved when the stuff against Crisanta came up and he was like, get the heat off of me. Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Straw man.
It's her fault, really. She appointed me and she knew. And it's like, no,
I don't think he said that. But
no, like you did this. You did it. She didn't do that to these women.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
So
we've got a lot of shit going on in Colorado right now. And maybe as the weeks continue, I'll be able to talk about more of it. But right now I just can't.
Well, we got about 15 minutes left, so you want to talk about the tax bill?
Sure.
Okay.
We're so fucked.
Republicans have drafted because after all the failures in the Russian investigation and everything else, they're desperate to pass anything. So as an homage and love letter and desperate plea to their donors to not abandon them, they have cobbled together this awful tax bill that nobody wants and everybody hates and is probably more damaging if they actually pass it to the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
But they right now, they're just so scared of not passing anything, they lose the donor money.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to pass it maybe in the Senate. I don't know.
The House passed one, which is absolute garbage. The House, but that's fine. They pass shit all the time.
Right.
That's
the
fine.
Senate might change it somewhat. But in order to get the deficit down, they repealed, they've snuck in a repeal of the individual mandate for Obamacare, which will essentially unravel it.
I thought that was just the House, not the Senate.
I don't know that the Senate's going to take it out.
Well, but the House bill definitely did that. The Senate doesn't have that currently in its version, so I don't know if they're going to include it or not, but
I think the plan is to have it in there.
My big fuck is like, grad students. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, grad students. Everybody's going to get... Everybody who's not rich is going to get completely fucked, but the worst ones are grad students.
This is crazy. So, if you're a grad student, part of your... you don't pay like you do as a bachelor's degree. You work basically off.
Okay, well, that's
your
if you're
degree,
a PhD student, because I was a grad student and I paid every goddamn penny.
Okay. So this is some grad students and some PhD students.
Yeah, PhDs for the most part. Have the opportunity to teach or do research and...
In exchange for a very, very modest stipend and free tuition.
Free tuition, right, exactly.
What this bill proposes is that they tax your tuition as though it were income.
Jesus.
So the tuition for most grad students and PhD students is... between $50,000 and
$100,000. A year?
Correct.
Yeah.
And the stipend that they make for all of this teaching, and I know some grad students, and Jesus fucking Christ, are they just totally overstretched beyond their means.
Oh, yeah.
Financially, but also just time-wise.
Yeah.
So the stipend that they get is an average of $30,000 a year to live on, which is sort of payment for all these classes that they teach, but also for the research that they do and all the things. Mm-hmm. Then they get this additional tuition that they get for free because they do like 50 hours of work a week plus their classes.
It's a route that I looked into.
Yeah.
And ultimately wound up not doing.
Right. I mean, it literally is your entire life.
Yeah.
So this new tax bill proposes that we tax the tuition on top of the stipend that you get.
Because that's what we want to do, right? We want to discourage people from seeking higher education in this country, have less doctors and scientists.
Less people have their PhDs and master's degrees in this country than we currently do.
Because that's how to make America great again, right?
Isn't it? If we have less educated people, that would be great.
Sure. So, and let India and China have more.
When we do the numbers, you know, the average amount of $30,000 that you get as a stipend, which is literally what you live off, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's where they buy their ramen noodles and shit.
Yeah.
About half of that would go to paying taxes for the tuition, which is considered income. Mm-hmm. So they would be paid about $15,000 a year to work 50 hours a week, go to school for about 40, and do homework for about 30, leaving very little time for sleep, which if you've ever known a grad student, is exactly what their life looks like.
Yeah.
And basically that just means no one will do it. They're right. Just, why would you make $15,000 a year to go to school full-time, work full-time, literally two jobs plus school, or research, and then make 15, like, you can't live on that. We're barely paying them enough to live on right now to become PhDs. Cutting it in half because you're paying that in taxes toward a tuition that, like,
and then once they get their PhD, actually finding a job and paying off their loans is a whole other story. But in the meantime,
we're
hollow.
Fuck it.
We're going to hollow out that core so that the rich people can get tax cuts, because they're still under this belief that if we cut taxes for the rich, it'll all trickle down.
All right, let's just talk about that for a minute. We got a minute, right? Yeah, I got 10 minutes. Okay. So, trickle-down economics is nonsense. If you think about it for 5 seconds.
Basic economics?
Yeah. If you give poor people money, what do?
They spend it.
What do they spend it on?
Food and goods and services and all the things anybody else spends money on.
Mm-hmm. And what happens to the companies that they spend money with?
They need to keep up with the demand, so they produce more product and need to hire more people to sell their wares to these people.
And
that
they invest
in
their own business to do that, right? Maybe now people have so much money, we have to build another manufacturing firm, and we got to hire more seasonal employees, and we got to hire more people.
And then hiring those more people, they get money, and
then they get money
and buy things.
And what do? They buy things.
And that's just how you grow an economy.
Okay. What happens when you give rich people a lot of money?
They keep it.
What do they do with it?
They keep it.
What do?
They keep it for
themselves.
They
literally
spend a little bit of it.
Put it offshore where they aren't taxed.
Or they invest it in financial hedge funds or...
Mostly they just keep it because they have so much money that they don't need more money, and they spend enough. They just don't need more. So they just...
They don't need to
ship it offshore and they put it somewhere.
No. They don't all build factories.
So this amazing thing happened. There was
especially if they work in finance.
Right. There's this amazing thing happened this week where there was this conference, and there was all these Wall Street people, like all these, like, you know, Fortune 500 companies.
Oh, the Gary Cohn show of hands.
Gary Cohn show of hands.
We're going to give you this great tax break,
so,
guys.
So Gary Cohn, who works for the White House, went to this thing with all these people who are billionaires and millionaires, and they own businesses. They're Fortune 500 company leaders. Mm-hmm. And he said, show of hands, if we gave you a huge corporate tax break, how many of you would invest in your companies? And like almost no one raised their hands.
Couple here and there out of like 50
and
people.
He like stopped it. Aren't the hands being raised? This is on tape. You can fucking look it up. I swear to God,
I'm
making
points
this up.
For honesty.
No, they don't want this because this is the point that was made. So almost no one raised their hand. And he was like, why the fuck aren't hands up? And then there was this whole thing and whatever. But when you ask an economist why that didn't happen, when you ask these people who didn't raise their hands, they're like, so there's a survey that was done, and it was, if you were given more money, would you invest in capital? And the question is, the answer is no. And the reason is that there's not a lack of corporate
capital. They're doing great.
Right. So, but it's not just capital, right? It's there's not a lack of post-tax growth. They have plenty of money post-tax, right?
Yeah.
They have tons of it. They just don't have anywhere to invest it because there isn't anything to invest in because people don't have enough money to spend it on things.
Yeah.
So what they'd rather, and there is no trickle down, right? The lack of show of hands was the absolute proof of trickle down economics doesn't work, which is, if we give you money, all you're going to do is either hold it offshore, sit on it, or give it back to your shareholders. There is no, you're not going to raise
wages.
You're not going to increase benefits. You're not going to increase your labor pool. You're not going to do any of that. None of that. Literally, I've owned a business. I'm telling you, hiring people has nothing to do with taxes. It has to do with how much business you have.
Yes.
And the only reason you pay someone to do something is because you can't physically do it yourself.
And you get more business when more people have
when
money.
When more people
to spend.
Have money, there are more things to invest in because more people can buy things. Yeah. us, people who don't need to hide $100 million offshore because we don't know what to do with it.
Right.
If you give me $1,000, I'm going to spend $1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
On shit.
Yeah.
That's going to help business.
Stuff I need, stuff I want.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. And if I have $5,000, I'm going to spend that too. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If I have 5,000, if I have 10,000, there's not a lot of thousands that we can get to that I don't spend most of it eventually.
Right.
With rich people, you can give them $100 million and they just go, well, that's my 800th million dollars, so I don't need it. What do I do with it? I guess I'll put it somewhere where it's not taxed and figure it out later.
Right.
There is no spending. There is no trickle down. There is no giving it back to the worker. There isn't any trickle down. It doesn't exist. It's just a Republican fantasy.
It's a recipe to strangle the economy.
Yes.
That's it. And that's what they're going to pass. It's what they might pass.
And if you want to look at it, I would really strongly urge you to look at what happened in Kansas.
Oh, God.
Because Sam Brownback and the Kansas has been Republican as long as it hasn't been socialist.
We didn't
right?
talk about the other side of this. In order to pay for all these tax cuts, they're going to slash entitlements and benefits.
Correct. Yes. So they're going to pay rich people more money, and they're going to cut Medicaid, cut Medicare, cut Social Security, and
public school funding.
Public school funding,
roads,
whatever.
Bridges,
this
highways.
Is exactly what we're doing the Kansas model now. So anything that's publicly funded isn't, and rich people should have a lot more money because eventually it will trickle down, which it fucking never does. And Kansas is the absolute perfect model for this.
Yeah,
because
they went, Brownback and company went on a...
They were completely Republican controlled, right?
Yeah.
Brownback won. Kansas is like as red as you can get, basically. It used to be a socialist state, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But it went completely red, and they did this, and he has completely trashed their economy to the point where they literally can't turn lights, like public street lights on. Mm-hmm. Their schools are closing. They have nothing. They are completely fucked. Completely fucked. And it is
and
the
people are moving
they
out of Kansas
basically
in
just
droves.
Took that model and said we should do that to the country.
Yep.
And that's the tax plan.
Yep.
If you want to know anything, look at Kansas.
Yep.
That's what happens.
Yep. And that's where we could be very well headed to. It's going to be close. I think that they, if they could get, I guess, the same, it's the same usual suspects, Murkowski
yep.
and Collins and
yep.
maybe McCain.
Yep.
But I think they feel so desperate to pass this, they just might do it.
Elections have consequences. And they aren't just the president is an idiot, right? It's also things like, oh, the entire economy is at stake.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's healthcare is at stake.
Foreign policy is at stake. Everyone's healthcare is at stake. Basic rights as individuals like voting and reproductive, like there are big, big things. The economy being one of the biggest that we just don't talk about. Because it's boring and it's bland and I'm sure it'll be fine because the market will fix itself or whatever we've told ourselves all these years. But if we go the route of Kansas and we do exactly what they did, we're going to end up exactly where they are, which is with literally no public accommodations.
A banana republic. Something between Brazil and an Eastern European bloc country, maybe, with a bigger population. And more guns.
Great.
So, yeah.
I can't wait.
So, Rachel's getting choked up. This might be a good time to...
Sorry, I have the flu.
Close up shop. But, yeah. So, this was a very uplifting, cheerful episode.
Sorry, guys.
I'm going to start your weekend with us. And,
I love
I don't
you
know,
all.
Man. Yeah, look, same thing as with Obamacare. Call your senator. Flood their inboxes. Show them the friggin' poll numbers. Like... This is our only chance
this
to stop it.
This is our literal
is to say no. We don't want this
entire economy that hangs in the balance. It's not just your health care and your dad dying of cancer without care, which is horrible. We stopped that. We should probably stop the entire economy from collapsing.
Yeah.
So please call and make calls. And for ladies out there, I know. I'm sorry. Maybe now it's not a good week to ask you to call, but do it anyway because you are our most consistent people that fucking call, and I
for
love
real.
You all. And if you want to talk to me, talk to me. I'm here.
Okay. It's going to wrap it up for us at Irreverent Duo, Twitter, reverenttestimony@gmail.com. patreon.com/irreverenttestimony if you want to throw us a few bucks. And stay active, stay tuned, stay involved. I'm Travis. That's Rachel coughing.
I'm Rachel.
We'll see you next week. Send Rachel some cough drops. Bye.